Thank you for being here this morning. If you will, take your Bibles and open up to the book of James, chapter 1. I kind of want to reread a little bit here that Brother Glenn read just a moment ago. James chapter 1, starting at verse 2. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into divers temptations. Now, I don't know about you, but most people, when they fall into hardship, when they fall into trials, when they fall into temptations, are we truly joyful? We should be. And James tells us why. You know, I'm not saying we ought to be jumping up and down and clapping our hands because some thing has fell upon us. But the idea is here, we need to count it all joy when we fall into divers temptations, when we fall into trouble, when we fall into hardships, when we fall into temptations, knowing that when that takes place, James says that the trying of your faith worketh patience. And I'll guarantee you, we all need more patience, don't we? I know I do. He says there in verse 4, but let patience have her perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. Has your faith ever been tested? I'll say it again or ask again. Has your faith ever been tested? And if it has, by what? What has it been tested with? James says here in James chapter 1, verses 2 through 4, that the testing of your faith produces endurance or patience. Notice again, James chapter 1, verses 3 and 4, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. Now, the prophet Ezekiel recalls the names of three individuals whose faithfulness is very noteworthy. Ezekiel chapter 14 and verse 20. We read this. Though Noah, Daniel, and Job were in it, as I live, saith the Lord, they shall deliver neither son nor daughter. They shall but deliver their own souls by their righteousness. So let's see why. Let's see why Noah and Daniel and Job is so noteworthy about faithfulness in times of hardship, the hope that they had in hardship. All right, first of all, let's look at Noah. If you go to Genesis chapter 6, verse 1 through verse 22, you can read about Noah and the flood, about him building the ark, so long, so wide, so high, one door, one window, two of every creature, male and female, that they were to take on the ark with them because the Lord was going to cause it to rain. Now, you can read that. Well, let's take a look at this verse. Genesis chapter 6 and verse 8. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Now, can you imagine the ridicule, the making fun of Noah and his sons when they started cutting down these gopher wood trees and fashioning them into a boat? Nowhere near water that we know of. Can you imagine the people that would come to watch the goings on of Noah as he is building this boat, and the people laughing and snickering, making fun of? In Hebrews chapter 11, verse 7, by faith, Noah, through all of the mocking, through all of the making fun of, Noah remained faithful. By faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not yet seen. They hadn't seen it rain before. They had no clue what rain was. They did not know what a flood was. Yet he moved with fear, preparing an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. Noah obeyed God when his actions were unprecedented, and among a people who would have perhaps and did probably mock him. You know, several years ago, Dorothy and I, along with Don and Pam, we went down and visited the Ark down in Kentucky. And you could sit in this little type of theater and watch a little movie about Noah. And the reporter of that day would come to him and asking questions about, Noah, why? What are you doing? You know people are making fun of you. And they would mock him, ridicule, and laugh. But his obedience stood in judgment upon the people of his day. Even though they were doing what they could to make Noah's life miserable, Moses stood faithful, and his obedience stood and stands in judgment upon the people of his day, and I believe will stand in judgment upon us today. Noah, a man of great faith, done what God commanded him to do, even in the face of a world of sin. So what about Daniel? We see Noah was a man of great faith. What about Daniel? We can read in Daniel chapter 1 and verse 8. But Daniel proposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with the portion of the king's meat, nor with the wine that which he drank. Therefore, he requested the prince of the eunuchs that he might not defile himself. Now, here Daniel and his three compadres requested that they would simply do what? Eat vegetables and drink water. But you know, that's not the end of the story. Do you remember what O King Nebuchadnezzar did. You remember what some of the princes and some of the counselors and some of the governors, they come to old King Nebuchadnezzar and said, "Oh, King, listen, we got a great idea. We would like for you to make a proclamation that if anybody is going to pray and petition a god, that they have to pray to you first." You remember that? And what happened? Well, you can read in Daniel chapter 6, verses 1 through 23, that because when Daniel fully understood that the decree had been signed, you know, Nebuchadnezzar at this point in time had a big head. Oh, everybody's got afraid of me. What did Daniel do? Once he knew that that decree had been made law, went to his house, put the windows open, and as he'd done three times a day, he knelt down. And you got to understand, remember, at this time, Daniel was a very important person in Babylon. And the reason that all of these governors and princes and all the people that was in charge, they were upset. They wanted Daniel out of the way. And this is why they come with that decree to King Nebuchadnezzar. But what did Daniel do? As it was his custom, he knelt down and he prayed to God, giving thanks. And did you know that all these people that had King Nebuchadnezzar make that law, they were out there listening? And when they heard Daniel praying to God, they went to the king and said, "Oh, look here. Daniel has went against what your proclamation stated." So what happened? What happened? Daniel chapter 6 and verse 10. "And when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went into his house, and his windows being open in his chamber towards Jerusalem, he knelt upon his feet three times a day and prayed and gave thanks before his God as he did aforetime." Just because King Nebuchadnezzar decreed that no one is to pray to a god before him, Daniel still prayed to God. Now, this was Daniel's reaction to the decree. He was going to be faithful. He was still going to pray to God. He wasn't going to change his daily routine, even though it was going to bring hardship. And you know what happened? Wasn't Daniel thrown in a lion's den? Now, I don't know about you, but I think a hungry lion would scare me to death. How many of you been out in the deep, dark wilderness? I'm talking about, you know, around here you don't really have the type of wilderness that you have up north. Have you ever been in a place that is so desolate and you're by yourself? Are you not afraid? I know when we were up in the Canada fishing, 100 miles from the nearest road, and most of us was afraid to be outside of that cabin once it got dark, because there were bears all over the place. That's why we were told when you get done cleaning your fish to put everything that you're going to throw away in a bucket and take it across the lake and dump it out on the other side to keep the bears away from the cabin. Daniel knew that there was going to be consequences if he went against the king. But yet he did anyway. Again, this is Daniel's reaction. He still prayed to God, even though death was the proclamation of going against the king. Faithfulness does not guarantee deliverance from your circumstances. And we need to understand that. Just because we are faithful is not going to guarantee us that we are going to be delivered from the circumstances that we may find ourselves in. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 36 through 38. And others had trials of cruel mockings and scourgings, yea, moreover, of bonds and imprisonment. They were stoned. They were sawn asunder, were tempted, were slain with the sword. They wandered about in sheepskin and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in the deserts and in the mountains, and in dens and in caves in the earth. These were faithful men that were basically driven out, but yet they didn't give up. They didn't quit. So we have Noah, who was faithful even in the times of sinfulness, to where him, basically, it said that Noah was found faithful. Not his wife, not his sons and their wives, but Noah was faithful in God's eyes. Here we have Daniel facing death if he went against the decree of King Nebuchadnezzar. But yet, he stayed faithful and prayed to God. Then we have Job. You can read about Job. You can read about Job and his loss, Job chapter 1, verse 1, all the way through chapter 2 and verse 10. You can see here that Job lost his oxen. He had something like 500 yoke. A yoke is two. And it could be three. 500 of them. Then he lost his donkeys, his sheep, his camels. Lost everything that he owned. But then the greatest loss, his sons and daughters. But even in all of this, notice what Job did. After the loss of basically everything, notice what Job did. Then Job arose and rent his mantle and shaved his head. And he fell down upon the ground and worshiped. What we don't read here is, God, why did you do this to me? Haven't I been a faithful servant of yours? How could you do all of this? How am I going to live now? You've taken all of my livelihood. You've even taken my children. What did I do to deserve this? How could you be so mean? But you know, there's people today, when bad things happen to them, who do they blame? Especially if bad things happen because of something that they themselves have done, who do they blame? Do they blame themselves? No. Many people blame God. God, how could you do this? Why did you allow this to happen to me? I go to church every Sunday. This should not have happened to me. Job arose. He rent his robe. He shaved his head. And he fell down on his face and worshiped God. Job chapter 1, verse 22. In all this, Job sinned not, nor charged God foolishly. Job never even sinned after his body was racked with boils. You ever had a boil? This one of them was very painful. But could you imagine from the top of his head to the soles of his feet? What did Job's wife say? She said, Job, why don't you just curse God and die? Job remained faithful throughout his hardship. But here's something I want you to notice, okay? Noah. What was the biggest thing that made it hard for Noah? You think building the ark was hard for him? Well, yeah. But the hardest thing that he had to face was the mockery of his fellow man. How many of us are afraid to speak to our neighbors, our friends, our family about Jesus? Are we not simply afraid of being made fun of? Maybe even mocked or ridiculed? Oh, you're a Christian? You believe in God? You're crazy. Yeah, I imagine it was probably pretty difficult for Noah to build that ark. But I think that the thing that really hurt him in the heart was the fact that his fellow man mocked him and would not heed the warning that he gave for them to repent. Now, what about Daniel? Noah, was it perhaps the hardest thing for him was being made fun of? What about Daniel? Could it be that perhaps Daniel, the hardship that he's faced, it wasn't praying to God that was hard. It was not literally obeying Nebuchadnezzar because he had done that already, but this is the one thing that he could not obey. But the hardship that Daniel faced was death. Daniel knew that if he went against that decree by Nebuchadnezzar, that he would face death. What about Job? Job faced the loss of material things and the loss of his family, his children. Hope in hardship. Noah never lost hope. Daniel never lost hope. Job, in his great loss, never lost hope. But brothers and sisters, it's sad to say that there are many Christians who have lost their faith and given up on God because a child had been taken in death, or a mother, or a father, or a spouse. How could you do that to me, God? Haven't I been faithful all these years? If we have any hope of withstanding hardships, we need to stand on our faith in God and not ourselves. A strong faith will help us in times of hardship. You know, telling everybody here to study so that your faith will grow. That's what Paul says in Romans 10, verse 17. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. If we want our faith to grow to where it will be a help to us in times of hardship, then we need to study. You know, telling someone, as we read in 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 15, to study, to show yourself approved of God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, but rightly dividing the word of truth. Brothers and sisters, it's not busy work. Preachers and teachers do not tell you and try to help you to understand that you need to study just to give you busy work. It's to help you to grow your faith so in times of trouble, in times of hardship, you will be able to stand like Noah and Daniel and Job. Studying is essential to enduring the hardships that we will face. You know, the word here, study, in 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 15 literally means to be zealous, to be eager, to diligently, to earnestly. It's put forth an effort. If we're not putting forth an effort to grow in faith, then perhaps there will come a time when our faith is really tested. Are we going to be able to stand? Are we going to be able to do what Noah and Daniel and Job did? Or will we fall away and give up? This morning, if you're here and you're not a Christian, Jesus Christ came to this earth. He died on the cross. He shed his blood for you, for the remission of sins. If you wish to be baptized and have those sins washed away, would you come?